Fanny Kessler, passenger. We were returning from Vereloshin, where I had accompanied my daughter for health reasons. The weather was extraordinarily beautiful. The trip was very pleasant. After lunch, we were sitting comfortably on deck. There were three other ladies with us who were also returning from Vereloshin. We were resting and talking. At a certain moment, I remember it very well, I took out my watch. It was exactly 2:45. Almost in the same instant, there was a noise so terrifying that I thought I had gone deaf. It seemed that the entire steamer was going to burst. A billow of smoke and fire appeared suddenly on the right side, while pieces of iron and wood were flying all around with an incredible force. An indescribable panic spread through the steamer. The passengers and the crew began to run up and down, screaming in fear, throwing themselves onto the life-saving boats and belts. One of the officers of Baron Gauch yelled, "Everyone keep calm, it's nothing, keep calm, there isn't any danger." But to no avail, because a deathly fear had ensnared all persons without distinction. In fact, it had ensnared more the people of the steamer than the passengers. It was terrible to listen to the screams and the cries of the many children who, up to a moment before, were the ones keeping the steamship cheerful. And how many children there were. Over 100, I think. The first class was full of German families that were mostly returning from the countryside and the seaside resorts, as well as families of officers and other state officials returning from various towns of South Dalmatia. The scenes that in those few moments of the steamship's agony unfolded before my eyes, to get hold of a life jacket or a place in the boat, were so savage, so bestially brutal, that I will never forget them. There were no men. There was a commotion of people, animals that attacked, punched in all possible ways, injured, choked, bit and fought in any manner possible to deprive another of a life belt or to get hold of a seat in the life-saving boats. But with few exceptions, almost all the life belts were locked in cabinets or cabins. Of those who went to look for the life belts below deck, very few returned. As for the cabinets, those who had the keys to open them, they thought to save themselves. Near me, one gentleman strove with all his forces, helping himself with an iron, to open a cabinet. I was lucky to grab a life belt that I tossed around the body of my daughter. In a second, 20 men had thrown themselves on her to snatch her life belt, but I fought like a lioness to save the child from the rabid men. I had had enough. As for myself, I had already come to terms with the fact that I was going to die. My first concern was to save my child. With regard to the lifeboats, I can say that the passengers could make very little use of them, because among them there were none that knew how to loosen the ropes. One lifeboat broke under the heavy weight, and another, also full of people, fell into the sea, disappearing under the surface. During the disaster, I noticed that two lifeboats had gained some distance from the steamship. Indeed, it was the captain and most of the ship's crew who had managed to escape, that had taken their seats in the first lifeboat. The steamship's crew had first saved itself in the first lifeboat, refusing to take on board any passengers that were trying to save themselves. Having seen that, I realized that there was no hope of salvation. Somebody from above still kept yelling, "Everybody stay calm, it's nothing!" But the steamship kept sinking at an even greater speed. I thought to myself, if the captain is abandoning the ship, this means that she must be lost. So the final hour was upon us. I kissed my daughter and recommended to her to always swim and cry out for help. And finally, I had to decide to throw the child into the sea. Since she had a life belt, I hoped that she would somehow be saved. After I had thrown her into the sea, I closed my eyes so that I wouldn't see anything anymore. When I opened my eyes again, I saw, with my greatest joy, that the child had already swam to some extent from the steamship, that she was afloat, and that she was swimming and crying out as I had urged her to do. I blessed her for the last time and having seen that even the last hope of salvation was gone, I decided to jump into the sea. The whole steamship was already listing heavily and had started sinking ever so quickly. In all that terrible horror, men, women, and children were running up and down like crazy, screaming, yelling, calling, crying, wailing. Women with children in their arms were looking for shelter in lounges and cabins. But unfortunately, they all inevitably died. Approaching those three ladies with whom I travelled, I shouted to them, "Throw yourself into the sea at once!" But instead of doing so, they went running into the first-class lounge shouting, "Our luggage! Our luggage!" Obviously, they also died. I closed my eyes and threw myself into the sea. I immediately felt that I was being swept away by a vortex caused by the sinking of the gouge. I was lost. I do not know. A true miracle must have happened, because I found myself on the surface again. They tell me that I had been at a depth of 7.5 meters. I grabbed a plank, and with my last remaining forces, I swam away from the place where the barren gouge heeled to one side, sinking. Far away, I saw my little girl, who was swimming and calling for help. This gave me enough strength so that I could hold onto the plank until I was rescued by the people of a torpedo boat. They had also saved my daughter. Nobody can envisage the scene on the sea after the sinking of a steamship. The surface of the sea, foul-smelling with oil, was covered with dying people and bodies. People who, in their agony, were grabbing the dying and the already dead, dragging even the living under the depths of the sea. The most terrifying was seeing the parents fighting to save the children. I had seen so many mothers who were desperately hugging their children and asking for help, but nobody listened. People who were already rescued wildly rejected them, so that one after another died along with the children. The most brutal egoism blinded them all. All around the wreckage, floating on the surface, one could see corpses of children. In just one hospital in Pula, I saw over 30 children's bodies. The most terrible scene that I saw with my own eyes while I was gripping the plank that had saved me was the following. At a distance of 20 meters from me, a lifeboat was passing. The other one, covered with people. A woman was hanging onto the boat with one hand, while in the other she was holding a child, begging the people in the boat to take at least the child into the boat with them. Suddenly, I noticed that a piece of wood, I think it was the paddle, landed on the child's head. The skull cracked, and then the child and the mother both sank.